Final hour, Darren Donick and Chase here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. We've had another loaded show for you again today. I love when time is flying by, and this final hour is going to be no different. We're going to start off with our weekly chat with Chris Mason, Willie's partner in the television booth on Fox Sports Tennessee, and of course, former Predator goaltender. He now joins us. C-Mace, what's up?
Not much. Just enjoying a beautiful couple days, especially when it was supposed to rain all week and ended up being pretty darn nice. So just taking advantage of the nice weather. How about
Amen.
You guys?
Amen to that. Over the weekend, I was looking at the forecast and I'm like, oh my gosh, 80%, 70%, 80%.
Yeah.
We practiced baseball Monday night, nothing. Didn't rain till after we were done at 8:15.
Yeah.
And we've really had virtually nothing here. So I'm glad they messed with that. Yeah. Before we get into the hockey stuff, because there's been some news. Well, I kind of want to follow up with what we were talking about last week, and we were talking about the mentality, right? If you can actually teach it, if you can actually coach having the right mentality, what it takes at the level of playing that you played at. So that's more of an adult professional athlete. But we said we were going to get into, you know, on the youth side, because the three of us have kids. We also teach and coach, and the question is, can you actually instill that? Can you teach that, you know, at a much, much younger age? Or do you just have to have that in your DNA? Is that the only way, you know, a kid can have that makeup? And I went on and asked Tim Hasselbeck last hour, because he's got three kids, and they're all playing sports, and he believes that you can teach it. Now, he did say that he believes – it really needs to come from home and from your sport, right? Your coach, whether it's us or another coach. So you're getting it from both ends, right? You're getting it from home and from your team slash coach. So let's follow up with, you know, on the youth side. Can you actually teach to have the right mentality to compete in youth sports?
I really think you can. I just think it's not something that – necessarily can be rammed down someone's throat or forced on someone. I think it's something that, you know, to a certain extent you have to organically let happen. And I know, you know, we're all, sometimes you get caught up in, well, why can't you just go out there and work hard? And, you know, all those types of things, and just keep your eye on the ball. And, you know, all those types of things that you hear all the parents saying is, I don't know why she doesn't, you know, just run harder when she's stealing a base or anything like that. But One incident that really struck a chord with me early when Avery started softball was their plan and their, you know, their rec team to start. And then we kept the girls together for a couple years, and they started to get pretty good. And, you know, we started travel ball. And the first tournament we went to, the girls were out there and they played this, you know, this really good team. They were, you know, polished, did all the things, and they're really good. And our girls just got absolutely, like, the first inning, I think they gave up like 15 runs or something like that. They're down 15-0, and I will never forget, one of the girls was in the on deck circle, and she's just laughing and smiling, and you know, she's swinging her bat, getting ready to go up, and she looks at us and looks at the dad that's keeping score, and she goes, "Are we winning?" they just got pumped like 50 runs, and all the parents are like, "Oh boy, I don't know if this is a good decision," but it just really struck a chord that like they were having fun. They you know, that wasn't the top. Their first priority wasn't winning a ball game, nor it should be at that age. Because when you're, you know, 7, 8 years old, and I know from when I played, I don't remember any of those games. I just remember I loved the game. I loved to play. I loved to be with my friends. I loved to go play hockey. You know, the winning part, I think, you know, it's clicked in now. My daughter Avery's 13, she's going to be 14, and all the same girls that were on that team that, you know, didn't know if they're winning 20-0 or losing 20-0 after the first inning, that they're just happy to be together with the, you know, with their friends and doing an activity that they love to do, because there wasn't the pressure to win. And, you know, they couldn't really grasp that concept. And I don't think it, you know, necessarily should be, you know, imposed on a child that just wants to have fun playing a game. And I think that the timing of that, and you can also, you know, gradually just, you know, put in little suggestions and you know, there's always good teaching moments for, you know, situations that come up within a game. You know, I love about sports is, you know, the one thing is it's not constant failure, but you know, when you play ball or whatever sport, you're gonna strike out. You know, you're gonna make a bad play. But the beauty of it is you don't have long till you have your next opportunity to contribute and help the team out again. So it's a really good, I think, mentally strengthen kids and to go through those experiences and all those types of things, and maybe just slowly introduce. But to me, the most important thing is a love and a passion for what you're doing and to have fun doing it. And then if they love doing it and they want to put in the time and effort, then I really think you can, you know, start working on those, those things we look at the higher elite levels and pro mentality type of things.
Well, what would be your tip? Because what if the passion is there, the drive is there, the talent is there? What if all that those ingredients are there? As you said, you know, because we've taken the similar path as, you know, rec ball. And then once you get in the travel ball world, look, you know, it changes everything. It's sometimes, you know, you run up against teams, it's just relentless. I mean, they're well-oiled machines, and you realize, wow. But when you get to the level where you then can compete, where you're now at the level where you can compete with everybody, and you're right there, and you're losing heartbreakers to those teams, and you feel like the only missing ingredient is, you know, maybe it's in their own heads. The only thing is, you know, they make a mistake, they slump their shoulders, or they get down, or they get sad. You know, what's the tip to getting, if all the other ingredients is there, and you're just trying to get them out of that, you know, slumping or I made a mistake, you know, I'm going to put my head down mentality?
Well, I think to me, it's perspective. It's the bigger picture. You know, all these things that I've learned from my experiences through going through exactly those things, letting in a bad goal and when I was younger, and it affected me the whole game because you're so upset that you let the team down or you lost the game for the team. And I actually had this situation on the weekend with my daughter Avery, is they lost their last game on Saturday, and she was upset because she didn't get a hit in the last two games. She got a walk, and then she got out the other two times, and she was upset about that. And I said the exact same thing. I said, "Hon," I said, it's tough. You guys played a really good team and you didn't get a hit. I said, but guess what? Tomorrow's what counts. You got an opportunity to help the team out tomorrow. And I said, that's the beauty of sports, is that you always have another opportunity. It's just, you have to, you know, rely on your experiences before. And I said, the bad things, the strikeouts, and I always put this, you forget about this too, is look at the best players in the world, the best college softball players, the best baseball, hockey players. They get lit up. Pecorine gets pulled from games. The best players to ever play the game, you know, they fail. They have tough games. You know, it doesn't always go your way, but the ability to be able to bounce back and to put that behind you, learn from it, move on, and then get ready and get focused, you know, for your next opportunity and be ready for that is such a thing that I think that, you know, kids don't necessarily understand. They just, you know, they feel the raw emotion of, you know, the disappointment, and it just sits there. And it's obviously, we all know it's not easy to do. It's not a great thing to carry around. But the thing about sports and life is what's done is done. There's nothing you can do about it. But you have another opportunity to succeed or to help your team. And I think little things like that, I think, you know, a lot of times kids, I know our ball team, you know, one game and they'll go out and they'll look amazing. Like, oh, there they got to figure out the next game. You know, it's just the inconsistency. But you can introduce, you know, the importance of preparing the same way. You know, you can have fun and stuff in between games, but when you go up on the field and you're in between those lines, you start focusing and you know, thinking of the things that you have to do to be successful, you know, at every at-bat. If there's, you know, a runner on first and second, you're telling yourself the scenarios. Okay, well, if I get a, you know, she's a center fielder, if I get a ball that's hit hard to me deep in the field, I'm probably not going to get the run at third, so I want to go to second base. If it's a hard hit ground ball, you know, all those different types of things that you just prepare yourself, you know, at what to do. So when the situation arises, that you've been there before, you just did it in your mind. So as soon as you get that ball, you're not really thinking about, okay, now what do I have to do? You just do it because you already know and you just thought about it. So just those little, I think, you know, things like that about preparing and processing failure, being able to handle that, you know, and being able to move on, say, you know, yeah, that sucks, but I'm up to bat here, you know, in two innings, so I'll be ready the next time. That's kind of how I approach it. I mean, obviously there's different ways, and I've seen
some of the bad ways of some, you know, parents and coaches that, you know, the way that they do to their team. I feel sorry for some of the kids, actually, because it's, you know, it's abusive, you know, behavior or mentality. I think that some of these kids that are, you know, 10, 11, 12, 13 years old get talked to by their coaches and parents. But I'm just focused on, you know, I really believe in, like, positivity. And, you know, sometimes you got to, you know, as a coach, you got to, you know, drop the hammer on the kids a little bit and make them accountable in a appropriate way. But I just love to foster and teach positive, you know, positive reinforcement and solutions instead of why didn't you do this? And, you know, that type of thing, just solutions and suggestions and just teaching.
Yeah. It's such a complex topic. And it does come easier to some than others, I would say, in you know, responding to Darren's overall question, can it be taught? Yeah, it can be taught for sure. And yeah, it just seems like there are some people that are wired better for that kind of thing and some that do need to work on it more. And it's the same is true with other skills, too. You know, your strength might be my weakness, and we, you know, but we might still be trying to get to that same area where it becomes a strength. You have to work on your weaknesses regardless of what they are, and that could be a weakness.
Yeah, 100%. Exactly. And, you know, to Darren's, you know, original, some kids are just wired that way. They want to do it. They're like, you know, you get up and sometimes you have to give your child a push to get out there and, you know, go hit some balls or whatever. And then sometimes they just want to do it. And, you know, some of the best players to ever, especially hockey, you know, Sidney Crosby, Jaromir Jagr, all these guys, the Connor McDavid's, all the guys that are the best of the best of the best. It's almost, I really believe it's an obsession, which I, you know, I don't believe in doing that with a kid. I believe balance is really important because if it becomes that consuming and, you know, something, God forbid, were to happen, you couldn't play a sport or whatever, I think that'd be pretty, you know, mentally damaging. But, you know, so we really believe in balance and trying other things and doing other activities and all that kind of thing. But some people are just wired like that. As a kid, and, you know, I talked to Willie a lot about this too. It didn't matter what sport, I had to be playing something. And Willie and I are still actually like that. Like when we go on the road, we've got to play shuffleboard. We got to play darts. We just need pickleball, whatever it is. Like we just love it. Like we live for that. It's just such a necessity in our life, that competition, challenging yourself, playing against, you know, playing against somebody and testing the limits and all that type of thing. And some people are just wired like that, and others aren't. But yeah, you can definitely teach it. And, you know, especially if you have the experience or, you know, you're a coach that's, you know, learning and taking, you know, seminars and clinics and, you know, learning new drills to challenge the kids and all those types of things. But there are those kids, there's no doubt, that's just what they do. It's just what they want to do. They just love it, love, love it.
So, Mace, looking at what's ahead for the players, as the process has begun to get people back to where they're starting to work out, hopefully they can stay on schedule for the training camp July 10th. We're waiting to hear where the hubs are going to be. I'm just looking at Sportsnet's website. I've been hearing the last couple of days, and we had Michael Russo on from Minneapolis. He was thinking Vancouver had the inside track, and now maybe there's a snag. I haven't seen all the details there, but hopefully sooner or later we're going to know where these hubs are going to take place. It does look like Vegas has got a good shot to be one of them.
Yeah, I mean, that'll be interesting, and it'll be interesting to see who goes where, because if, let's say, it is Vegas and Vancouver, two Western cities, will they put Vegas in Vegas, or will they put, you know, the West in Vancouver and then have the East in Vegas? I don't know how they're going to do that, but that'll be very interesting to see. And I guess, you know, essentially every team is in the same boat. And I would think it would be like such a major advantage if, you know, if you are Vegas, you get, you know, all your home facilities and everything. And I wonder if, you know, they would keep the home team at their own homes, or if they would have to quarantine in a hotel or something like that as well, and be under the same guidelines as everybody else. But, yeah, once that gets narrowed down, you're going to have 12 teams in one city. You're going to have enough. You're going to need enough practice facilities, you know, enough common area and space to be able to house all these guys and the staff and everybody that's, you know, that's traveling with the team. I know the groups have been shrunk down a little bit, but they'll be carrying extra players, couple of goalies and a few extra players as well. So it'll be that. I'm really interested to see how are they going to schedule the games. Are they going to play, you know, two games a night, have an early game and a late game, and stagger it that way? Three games. Are you going to have an afternoon, you know, an early evening game, and then an 8 o'clock game? I'm very intrigued to see how this plays out, especially early on when all the teams, you know, all 12 teams in each hub city are involved in the games. But I can't wait. I'm excited. I hope there's no more, you know, snags medically that's really prohibiting any of these situations. I know Arizona had a little bit of a situation, and I think Tampa Bay too, with a few players testing positive. But you know, that's I guess it's inevitable when you think about it. If ever nobody's immune to this situation, it's just if they can control it and it's not as, you know, as bad, you know, health wise for the players and staff.
Right. Tampa Bay, just as you mentioned, they had to shut down on Friday. They are back open today, so that was a good sign. But there are going to be some positive tests, and hopefully they can move through this period, evaluate it, and move forward just like all of the sports. One thing we discussed yesterday, Mace, is can you envision what it would be like? And for some teams, it could be up to a couple months if you go very deep. Let's just say it is Vegas, and you know, we have this vision of the league basically taking over an area. Let's say you are in the bubble, which is, I think, what would have to be. And I can't see how it would be different for Vegas players. How I would think they would have to be in this bubble. But
yeah,
the bubble would include, I guess, many places to eat, hang out. I guess you would be seeing the same people all the time. I don't know if all 12 teams would be in the same vicinity. But, you know, we're just trying to get a visual of what that would be like. But just being able to get through it, you know, psychologically, staying sharp, getting ready for these huge games, trying to win a championship. I guess for some it would be easier than others who do like to just get away from it. You know, sometimes you do just need to get away from your teammates for a day or for a few hours anyway. So this will be an interesting thing for just human nature.
It will. But, you know, the one I say it definitely will. And you're right. Like some people, you know, they can thrive in that situation. Some people, you know, they need to be alone and they need their time and space. No question for their mental health. But I think, you know, for the majority of people, especially hockey players, you know, they love routine. You just love the routine of it. I've been in, you know, a situation that's kind of similar, I guess Olympic athletes, when they go to the Olympic Village and, you know, they're part of that experience. I've been to World Championships where it's really all your meals are at the same place. You're at the same hotel. You do everything together. So you're kind of on that clock for, you know, that if you go to the finals in the World Championships, you're looking at probably a month total from when you first go into the training camp and then have the exhibition games and the tournament. And that's a long time. And you know, I know when we did that, our families were allowed to come over for the medal round when that started. So, you know, you'd be away for 3 weeks and then, you know, you look forward to your family being there for the rest of the tournament, which was, you know, you could just see everyone's demeanor and the morale change a lot when the family members were able to be a part of the experience as well, because it is a long time. And I know you're so focused on obviously the hockey, and that's going to be the focal point anyway of what you're thinking about and what you're trying to do. So I think that helps to have something that important to be playing for, to really help with the situation. But there's no doubt it's going to be, you know, this is uncharted for the NHL. And I don't know if there will be, you know, families coming in or anything like that. That will be a part of it. And I think when they're, you know, initially having the talks, they mentioned that, you know, the players won't be away from their family for 2 months or months at a time. So it will be interesting. And I'm sure they're taking that into consideration, and it'll be they're going to have a number of options, some entertainment things. And I don't know if golf is one of them or something, just to kind of get away from it all. Yeah. Ping pong and just all those
shuffleboard, you know, darts.
Shuffleboard,
you got to have all
darts,
that, right?
There you go. Pickleball. We can go in there and do a pickleball tutorial, Willie. I'm down for that.
If they let us in the bubble, that's going to happen. Yeah. There's no question. If we're in there, there's going to be pickleball.
Oh, yeah, 100%. If we're in the mix, we'll find that. Heck, I'll bring tape and we can tape up a parking lot or something.
Good stuff as always, Chris. Really appreciate the visit. You and the family continue to be safe, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right. Thanks, guys. Good talking.
Yeah, that was good stuff. Chris Mason, Willie's partner in the television booth on Fox Sports Tennessee, of course, former Predators goaltender, and he joins us every Wednesday at 1 o'clock. We will come back. More of Darren Donick and Chase next on ESPN 102.5 The Game.